The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Okay, well, if time permitted us, we'd play a bit more of what we've got coming, but we're going to have to play just a sample from an album called The Book of Invasions. This is called Sword of Light, and it's for Rather Ripped Records. Okay.
That was from 1978, believe it or not. I'm joined in studio by Barry Devlin and Jim Lockhart of Horse Lips. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome.
Lord, thanks, Pat, for having us. How we're both from 1978 as well.
Now, talk to me about this recently discovered tape and how it made into vinyl. It made it into vinyl.
Yeah, well, actually, Jimmy's a better hand on that than I am.
There was a friend of ours, Doug Krall, in San Francisco, who ran a record store called Rather Ripped Records that kind of cottoned onto us early on, and we used to go down and play at their birthday parties and stuff in Berkeley. And it was really like an oasis of very cool rock and roll. And so we stayed friends with Doug, and some years ago he found a tape on his shelf that was recorded off the radio, because we used to do lots of concerts that went out live on FM stations here and there. And he had recorded this concert, which we didn't know about. And sent us over a tape, and we thought, well, that's really interesting. But there were a number of defects with the tape, and we couldn't use it. We thought, that's great, but can't be used, because a couple of the vocals were mixed. It was a live radio recording, and therefore the radio engineers wouldn't have known who was going to be singing the next song, and so the vocals weren't up in the mix, and you couldn't really hear the vocals.
It wasn't taken from your own mixing desk, in other
words. No, it normally would have. Yeah. And in fact, we were looking for... The Winterland was such an historic venue. And
about the concert. I mean, do you remember the actual event itself?
Yeah, we do. I do. I remember Bruce Foxton and the lead singer with The Jam.
Paul Weller.
Yeah. Being hauled along more or less by the ear by Weller's dad, because Weller's dad was the manager. And the lads were never allowed any fun after gigs, because the dad had them home in bed. So this pair of sorry lads came whizzing past us. And I think it might have been, to our shame, Bebop Deluxe, who are the head of the bill. And we were second or third on the bill.
Okay, so you do remember the
gig? Oh, God, yeah.
And so we had one kind of distorting radio tape. When did the more pristine version arrive?
No, what happened was the technology just got better, and we discovered that you could actually lift the vocal up in the mix out of which wasn't even conceivable like 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
If you lifted one, you lifted all.
Yeah, pretty much. No, and now so we got a German remix engineer who's a bit of a whiz. And he cleaned it up, lifted the vocals that you couldn't hear, and suddenly we had a presentable, very kind of very zippy performance. But it's great fun. It's really exciting to listen to.
And what was your reaction when you finally heard it in this re-engineered pristine form? Was it kind of, were we that good, really?
Oh, actually, it was, were we that fast? You know, we never had click tracks. And so the one thing you can be sure of with a Horse Lips live is that we'd be playing it a bit faster than it is on the album. But it turned out to be a really good gig.
Yeah, it was very tight. I mean, at that stage, because we were playing so much and we had been playing so much live night after night after night, year after year, we had actually turned into a fairly tight ensemble on the road, you know.
And it had, it was a middle album. We'd done an album in Dunleary in 75, which represented what we'd been doing up to then. And then we did Belfast gigs, which was our very last set. And so this is kind of the bit in between. So if you're the sort of person who's interested in Horse Lips and where we were for all that 10 years, this is a very good middle spot as well.
It's available only on vinyl or in other formats as well?
I think it's only on vinyl.
And it's translucent vinyl.
Yeah.
I've just opened it.
You can see
the light through it.
And also you can lose it quite easily on top of another. Where's that Horse Lips album? It's gone.
Yeah, it's called Tell Him About It, Johnny. Now explain the title.
Because Johnny launched into a really ripping solo on... I can't remember.
It probably would have been the opening.
And I just shouted, "Tell him about it, Johnny." You know, I mean, it was one of those things that that, you know.
Now, one, you're referring
one,
to
one
the,
for Ringo, you
the,
know.
The late Johnny Feen.
Yes,
who passed away. And that really brought an end to your live performances.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, whatever about. I mean, we'd been playing with a slightly stripped down version of the band. Charles had kind of decided to hang up his fiddle and concertina and everything else that he played and start a property empire in Whitby, which he seems to be perfectly happy with. So it was me, Jim, Fich, and Ray. Ray. And we were playing, you know, but when we weren't going out as Horslips. We were going out as guys who used to be in Horslips. But once Johnny actually died, we kind of had to...
At the time of his death, I remember thinking of the best guitar solo on I'll Be Waiting from The Man Who Built America. I think it's on a par with Hotel California solo.
It's an extraordinary piece of work. I remember the night that he did that, because we were recording in AdVision in London, and it was like 4 o'clock, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and Deco Doherty was behind the desk, and there was only a few of us kind of left awake. And Johnny kind of, it came to the, okay, let's get the solo down. Johnny strolled in with the fag hanging out of the mouth and just came to the solo. It's quite a long, extended instrumental. And he did this incredible solo. And we just looked at each other, gobsmacked. And so it came, fade down. I said, do you want me to try that again? Jesus.
No.
So we let him do it again. And he did an equally brilliant one, just slightly different. It was an amazing experience. It was like Johnny was just, it was a privilege. One of the best privileges of being in the band was being able to be on a stage with Johnny Feen. He was an amazing man.
Now, speaking of being on stage, you do take to the stage in sort of different formats these days, yeah?
Yeah, well, I identify as a goat. One of the things we do is work with Paul Muldoon. We always love doing it.
Who did the McCartney series and all that, the podcast.
Exactly, I mean, a poet of this parish. And Paul has a show, which is kind of a vaudeville show that features writers and musicians. And it's called Muldoon's
Picnic.
And it's based around an Edwardian thing that happened in New York, which was actually called Muldoon's Picnic, with a showman called Muldoon. Mm. And so what Paul does, he puts a show on the road. Paul has his own band called Rogue Oliphant. But when Rogue Oliphant can't make it over, which they sometimes don't, we
send in the clowns.
Exactly. the maggot band comes on. And that's always great fun, because we get to meet famous authors.
And keep the fingers going.
Keep the fingers as going as they get.
Devlin and myself are getting up to do a couple of tunes with Pat McManus and Ballyshannon in a few weeks' time as well.
Okay. But you're doing a talking tour as well.
That sounds as if we're talking a lot, but we're doing a talk an evening with in the Fela Moth in Hackney and it's beside the Diamonds, and so we're looking forward to that. And we're down in the Shanty. Which is a big venue down near Waterford in a couple of weeks, and we'll be talking, you know, breathless tales, many of them untrue.
Now, in front of you is an old Horslips album sleeve, which was brought in by Killian de Butler, our producer, and I think I have one at home, and I'm sure you have. That's an extraordinary production, because it looks like the most expensive album cover ever made.
I think it may be the most expensive album cover ever made. You know, the extraordinary thing, that because we took it all for granted, we were an independent record company way before anybody else was. We licensed our own records. We designed, Charles designed our own sleeves, manufactured them. And this thing was incredibly complex with stuff
and it's
cut
called,
out of it.
What was the title of the album?
Sorry to Part.
And it's shaped like a concertina.
It's shaped like, although very few people spotted that, 50p piece, you know. No, it's not like, it looks like a concertina. But it arrived on an astounded world, you know, because it was the first thing we'd done. And this extraordinary thing came out. We took it for granted because we've been working on it. But people couldn't believe it. It was the fastest selling album in Ireland for 10 years till ABBA brought out whatever ABBA was.
And it even inspired Mick Jagger, no less.
It inspired Mick Jagger to vituperation and contumely. Mick and the boys were doing Sticky Fingers. This is a legendary tale. And they wanted a zip. They were featuring part of Joe D'Alessandro's Anatomy, and they needed a zip.
A real live metal zip
in the cover. And Ahmad Erdogan, who is, you know, tight with the shillin, sensibly enough, and who was the managing director of Atlantic, didn't want to pay the money for a zip and was playing hardball. And so the story is that Jagger Walstein, because what else did Jagger every day except Walstein, waving Happy to Meet and Sorry to Part, and we'd just signed with them and said, here's my view, Amit, if a cockamamie band from Ireland can get a cover like this, we can have a zip.
And so the zip was made.
So the zip, yeah. So, yeah. So, you know.
Serendipity again. Now, tell us, I want to go back to your talking tour. What are you going to be talking about?
I think it's just going to be random stories. I hadn't thought of it in terms of a tour, but I suppose it's starting to look a bit like that. It's pretty much whatever is going to come up, because there's a whole load of stuff that ranges from mythology to the social context of 70s Ireland going to where we are now, all that sort of stuff, you know.
And there's probably quite a good question line in hairstyles, I'd imagine, and flares and clogs.
Crimes against fashion.
There is the question of whether the bench warrant from The Hague for crimes against fashion is still operative, or whether there's country. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of stuff that happened, a lot of it really unrepeatable on air. Mm-hmm. Most of it about horses being basically Egypts.
Well, not everyone thinks that. Connor in Limerick says, a great interview with Barry and Jim. I remember as a teenager in Limerick seeing Horselips in the Great Savoy Theatre, and I think it was always special for Johnny Feehan to be back at home.
Yeah, so, Johnny loved, yeah. Johnny never really, his heart never really left Shannon. And
all right, well, there we have to leave it. The album is available now. It's in transparent vinyl. Tell them about it, Johnny. It's called, and it's absolutely brilliant. My thanks to Jim and to Barry.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.